I'm so excited to be joined by John Ruskin. He's a holistic psychotherapist. He's a musician and an author of Deep Clearing, Balance Your Emotions, and Let Go of Inner and Outer Negativity. John, how are you?
Great, Brendan. Great to be here.
So glad you're here. So you went to school for mechanical engineering, but ended up as a musician. Are you every parent's worst nightmare?
You know, it's really, I guess, beautiful that my parents never really questioned my trajectory towards life, even though they worked really hard. They were working class parents, and they put me through Cornell and then prep school before that. So they were really envisioning that I would have some kind of professional career beyond what they had experienced. But, you know, I graduated from Cornell in 1965, believe it or not, which was right in the height of the alternative consciousness movement. And I really got swept up in that. Plus, I had felt that engineering at Cornell had just destroyed my right brain creative self because it was just so left brain and theoretical. I worked at it for a couple of years, but nothing that I learned at Cornell really prepared me for any kind of engineering job that I had. It was so disappointing. But anyway, I had this burning urge to play guitar and write songs, and people were doing it at that time, you know, so I thought, what the hell? Why not me? So I, after a couple years of engineering, I quit my college graduate job and became a kind of a, you know, hippie musician, and worked as a carpenter. Eventually had my own shop doing woodworking of all types, mostly on Martha's Vineyard, which is where I lived. And really enjoyed becoming an artist. And I really feel like doing that was so important in my own personal growth, because if I hadn't switched out of the left brain engineering culture that I was in, I would have never gone the way that I went. I never would have written Emotional Clearing. I never would have become a psychotherapist. And I never would have developed my right brain, which I thought was so crucial in terms of my personal path in this particular lifetime. At the same time, I got into consciousness cultivation, we could say, becoming initiated into Kriya Yoga, actually in 1968. And I was really dedicated with that my whole life, actually. So my background is really Eastern spiritual practice, meditation, Kriya Yoga, and so on. And that's what led me to all these different conclusions and realizations that I had regarding consciousness, particularly the emotional aspects of consciousness, which I felt was actually neglected by all of those spiritual disciplines that I was exposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. So your work combines a really cool East and West approach. How have you found this balance? Because I think when people think East, you know, they think like yogis, guru. And then when people think West, they think a doctor that doesn't know your name and just gives you an erectile dysfunction pill. So, how have you found this balance? I think it's a beautiful place to operate.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, what I think is actually somewhat unique, and probably why I was able to make a dent in the literary culture of the time. But, you know, the Eastern side is really meditation based. It's going within. It's developing the aptitude for a kind of an altered state. Yeah. And when you get into that altered state, what happens is that you start accessing what we could call the subconscious. And that ties right into Western psychology, which years ago used to be based in what we would call humanistic psychology. But nowadays has transitioned, as far as I can tell, being part of the general decline of the intellectual and spiritual life of the whole world, into cognitive therapy, which basically means if you just change your thoughts, you can change your experience. But humanistic psychology prior to that was based in the subconscious. Freud started the whole humanistic Western psychology. And of course, Jung proceeded from him, and yeah. Jung is still very big. And there were a lot of other psychologists after those two that kept up the humanistic values in psychology, which were basically going into the subconscious and seeing what's there and recognizing that subconscious containment of, we could call it suppressed energies,
yeah,
is what accounts for psychological dysfunction that we experience in the present world. And that these psychological energies or negative energies, I like to call them negative energies because it's kind of vague, but on the other hand, we don't really have language to describe it accurately. But these negative energies are what become known to us as feelings and emotions, negative feelings and emotions. So the result is that we can regard that we have a reservoir of negative feelings and emotions in the subconscious, which keep getting projected. Now, projection is a major Western psychological concept. You could say that was really emphasized by Fritz Perls in Gestalt psychology. So it's like we're moving forward and forward from the Freudian days, the humanistic days, into Gestalt psychology. Fritz Perls proposed that projection. He actually said in one of his books that I suggest the impossible notion that you regard all of your experience as a projection.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. But if you start to think of it, what he means by that is that you're creating your experience. And that ties right into what the Eastern spiritual practices recommend or advocate, that you recognize that you're creating your experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I heard you say that I think differentiates you from what a lot of people, you just hit on it. So you don't actually think that changing your thoughts or your words actually affect your subconscious and that the suppressed energy just needs to be released. Can you talk about why that is and like how
I'm really glad you brought that up. That's so crucial. You know, it seems like the, you know, cognitive therapy, which as I mentioned, the basis of cognitive therapy, as far as I can tell from having read a few books and spoken to clients of mine who have a lot of experience in that field, is that it's mostly based on correcting your thoughts. And it's assumed that because you have an incorrect thought, you're then having these negative experiences in the real world. So if you can just find the correct thought and correct it with a more positive, let's say, thought, that's going to be the solution. Then that ties right into modern day New Age hypothesis, which is really saying the same thing. It's all based on your beliefs, which is in the same way associated with your thoughts. And if you can just correct these thoughts and beliefs, you can manage or change your experience. That's why so much of the current New Age emphasis is on getting what you want, which from an Eastern standpoint is really kind of disappointing, because the whole point of spiritual practice is to go beyond the ego, to go beyond these self-oriented needs, to see the delusionary aspect of self-oriented needs, to grow beyond them. And then the New Age is advocating, it's just telling you different ways to try to attract to yourself what your ego needs are.
Yeah.
So that's all based on the premise that if you can just visualize or change your thoughts, you can attract what you want into your life. There's a grain of truth in that, because what you hold within is what you attract on the outside. So books like The Secret and The Law of Attraction, that's all based on this premise that if you just can visualize, so let's say, strongly enough what you want, you can attract into your life what you want.
Yes.
Perpetuating the myth of the ego and its desires, let's say. But the thing is, what you attract is based on what you have in the subconscious. And we've all heard that the subconscious is like 95% of ourselves. And it's what's in the subconscious that attracts your experience. Let's say you want to attract a love partner that you can have a love relationship with. So you visualize that person and you're expecting to draw that into your life eventually. But if what you have in the subconscious is a buildup of loneliness and isolation and even hostility towards the opposite gender, that's what you're going to attract. And the whole idea that you can reprogram the subconscious by bombarding it with positive thoughts, to my way of thinking, is just a mistake. It just doesn't work that way. And that's the premise that most of the modern day therapies are working on. And I've had clients who have come to me and have tried The Secret. This was years ago when The Secret was really happening, but they felt like they damaged themselves by engaging so strenuously in visualizing what they wanted to bring into their lives. And I can really agree with that. When I was working with them, the whole thing would be to try to relax into the present, because their orientation was in the future, trying to bring something into their life. When you're focused on that compulsively, you damage yourself. You limit the capability you have of being in the moment. If you're familiar with Eckhart Tolle's work, which I agree with, he's one of the few people of the modern scene that I would agree with. His whole emphasis is on coming into the moment, experiencing the moment. And if you're in the moment, you're not really thinking about the future. You want to experience what's happening in the moment. So shifting your orientation, coming into the moment, recognizing, you know, the limitations of wanting to reprogram the subconscious based on the thought, value, assumption that we hold in emotional clearing work, that just doesn't happen, that you have to go into the subconscious and work with those feelings directly without trying to change them or reprogram them. That's what causes and allows for the ultimate release of negativity. And that's how your life can eventually really shift and turn around.
Yeah. So let's give some people some hope. Let's talk about how we can do this. And yeah. I would love to talk about how we can do this. And also, I guess one of my biggest fears with subconscious stuff has always been not being able to find these feelings or blocks, and then just basically being on autopilot and just continually crashing my car into a wall and being like, I don't know why I'm doing this. So can we talk about how we can not do that and how we can?
Yeah. But first, what you said is really, really poignant, because crashing your car into the wall and getting involved in accidents, in quotation marks, that's what happens when the subconscious builds to levels where it's actually drawing things to you. And I'm assuming that's what you meant by that. But that's another example of how the subconscious builds up, attracts similar energies to us. If we're suppressing anger, loneliness, fear, depression, all those feelings build up and attract similar circumstances, and this works from the metaphysical level. These are thought forms that we build on the psychic planes. These thought forms attract similar thought forms, and they build higher and higher, stronger and stronger, and then they attract those experiences on the material plane. So we do have an accident, or we do attract partners who are going to be abusive, or we do attract failure and so on, just as you're saying.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to underline the importance of recognizing that we attract those things to ourselves. So in the East, we call this karma. In the West, we call this projection. And projection can advance to the stage where it actually attracts events and experiences to us. That's not really recognized so much by Western psychology, that it can advance the stage where it actually attracts experiences to us. But that may be where the Eastern psychology can fill in the gap.
Yeah.
Okay. So to get to how to do it, which is really the most important part of the work. Once you recognize that you have a subconscious that's building, let's talk a little more theory, first of all, about how the subconscious builds, because that's important to understand before we get into how to do it. So the idea is that we have this built-in mechanism that we all kind of succumb to, of what we could call emotional self-rejection. So when a negative feeling comes up, we have this tendency to want to try to push it away. And it's not hard to understand why we do that, because these feelings are painful and we want to avoid them. So sadness, loneliness, depression, anger, fear come up. We disapprove of these feelings. We don't like them. We make them wrong. And we cut them off in the middle of their cycle. Normally, feelings have a cycle of building and dissipating if they're not interfered with. But when we disapprove or make the feeling wrong, we cut the cycle short. And what happens to the feeling then? It doesn't go away. It gets relegated into the subconscious.
Oh, okay.
And that's how the subconscious builds up. It's through this unconscious mechanism of emotional self-rejection, which equates to unconscious resistance to feelings, that suppresses them into the subconscious and then accounts for the way they accumulate and act out, as we've been discussing.
Yeah.
So that's the first major intellectual aha moment that we have to have in order to move forward into the work. So then, based on that recognition that subconscious feelings are the accumulation of negative energies, negative feelings that have been resisted in the past, the premise of the work is that in order to release these feelings, we then have to move into a state of experiencing them in order to release them.
Okay.
So now you could say, this is again tying back into humanistic psychology, which you may have heard of when they're working with trauma. They'll say, well, you have to re-experience the trauma in order to release it. Yeah. So they're actually saying the same thing. But when they say re-experience, that's actually incorrect, because the feelings were never adequately experienced the first time. And that's why they become suppressed in the subconscious. And in order to release them, we have to move to a place of now experiencing the feelings in order to release them. So it's not a case of expressing the feelings. And this is where psychology made a wrong turn. It was assumed that if you could just express the feeling, you're going to release it. Or not expressing the feeling was what accounts for it becoming suppressed. Now that leads to a whole other realm of turmoil. And what does expressing mean? Does that mean that I have to get it off my chest and start yelling at the other person? And that's what a lot of people thought, maybe back in the 80s or 90s. You have to be active and get these feelings off your chest, express them out loud. But that doesn't really work either. And then expressing the feeling, well, maybe that means taking a tennis racket and pounding a mattress to get those feelings off your chest. That doesn't really work either. It's not a matter of expressing. It's a matter of experiencing.
Oh, okay.
And these different types of expressions, for me, are just different wrong turns that we got into in the past. Okay, so once you might see that we need to experience the feeling to release it, how do we do that? And that's what the emotional clearing or deep clearing method is all about. So there are four steps to the method. We could say that's awareness, acceptance, direct experience, and witnessing. And they occur on the intellectual, mental, emotional, or spiritual planes.
Okay.
All right. So let's say you have anger. You have a encounter during the day that brings up a lot of anger. You don't want to simply get it off your chest and start yelling at people, because that just creates animosity and bad feelings. And it's a projection to begin with, which probably most people around you can see, even though you can't see it, because projection is unconscious. I forgot to mention that. And you don't really recognize that you're doing it. So you contain your anger for some later point in the day. Let's say you get home and then you sit down in your meditation and you try to look at the experience in a meditative state. So meditation means, first of all, entering an alpha state, or a state of just deep relaxation.
Right.
So you can do that with breath work. And I go into how to do that in the book, how to use the breath. But your breathing relaxes. You're dropping into the body. It means putting the mental conscious mind on hold to whatever extent you can. And it's not always easy, but as you start to practice these tools, you gain an ability and it becomes easier and easier. So what we're actually teaching is a form of what you could call mindfulness. Even though I never thought of it in those terms when I first started describing it back in the, 1990s. But not mindfulness has caught on recently.
Yeah.
But the steps that I describe, I believe, go beyond just basic mindfulness and really go into the details of how to do it, how to categorize your emotions into first level emotions or core feelings, how to have direct experience by going into the body, how to witness the feelings and not be engulfed in them, and so on. But it is a form of mindfulness. So you, first of all, have to feel at home going into kind of a meditative state, sitting quietly. Your mind is going on hold. And you start to automatically be able to access the subconscious. Stuff just starts jumping up. It happens automatically. And if you had this experience during the day, which was uncomfortable, where the anger came up. Or let's say it's, I don't want to confine it to anger, but let's say it was an experience of being disappointed with your love partner, where you had deep loneliness come up, or the feeling of you're not being understood, you're not being valued, you're not getting what you want out of your relationship. Those feelings come up.
Yeah.
So just by sitting quietly, those feelings are going to spontaneously come up. Or if they don't come up spontaneously, you can go back to that experience and see yourself in it and let the feelings come up. So then you want to bring up the feelings. And as the feelings come up, you want to just start to recognize them. Okay, so now awareness, first step. It's bringing up the feelings, as I said, and it's also taking responsibility for the feelings based on the notion of projection, as we talked about, whether you want to see it as karma or projection coming from the subconscious, you attract these things to you. And if you can do that, you know, with the understanding that, okay, so my loneliness is coming up. This is really painful. But this is the opportunity that I have in this lifetime to clear this feeling from my subconscious. And I'm not going to blame people for making me feel this way. I'm not going to blame circumstances. I'm going to make the assumption that this is cleansing in progress. This is something I attract to myself. It's the opportunity to release negativity from the subconscious. So I want to drop blame to the best of your ability. Now, it's not always easy to do that. I completely understand that. But if you can just put blame aside, even for the meditation session that you're in, put blame aside. Because blame leads to victim consciousness also, which is another, you know, another pitfall that we want to avoid.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to recognize it's a projection. You're going to try to drop blame. You're going to try to go to the feeling behind the event. So let's say it's anger. That's a first level emotion. That's not really a core feeling yet. Maybe the core feeling is that you felt minimized and humiliated on your job. That's more of a core feeling. That's where you want to get to eventually. But you might be only at the point of anger now. If you're having disappointment and loneliness come up in your relationship, the first level emotion is disappointment. The core feeling behind that is a sense of abandonment.
Yeah.
Loss. And you can see how it starts to tie into trauma immediately and childhood experiences immediately or past life experiences immediately. What's the core feeling? And that's where you want to go eventually. But that may not happen immediately. So we start with the first level emotion. Okay, this is all part of awareness, the intellectual level.
Yeah.
And then acceptance is the next stage, which I call the mental level. We want to recognize that we have this intuitive knee-jerk mental reaction to make our feelings wrong, to push away our feelings. And this is so much a part of just, it's kind of a defense mechanism, you know, we all have it, but it's a defense mechanism that works against us. And you could say it's one of life's traps that we get trapped into, this whole tendency to make our feelings wrong. You want to look inside and find that resistance to the feeling and then drop the resistance. Be okay with your feelings. Now, just this can have such a monumental effect. And I'm speaking from my personal experience and experience with clients. If you have loneliness, if you have hatred, just moving to the point of, I'm no longer going to reject myself. I'm going to accept my loneliness, my hatred. Think about it. You've been condemning and blaming yourself your whole life.
Yeah.
For all these negative feelings. Hatred is such a good example. Relax. Accept the hatred. Accept the fear. Relax into it. Accept your sexual compulsiveness, your emotional neediness, your feelings of inadequacy.
Yeah.
Instead of being driven by them, most of the time unconsciously.
So then would you say you know that, how do you know when these feelings are, you can move on? The feeling in that state just doesn't feel as strong? Is that how?
Well, eventually, yeah. Eventually what happens is that the feelings start to dissipate. But that's not going to happen immediately. We all have these really strong core feelings, one or two really important core feelings. And you're probably not going to access the core feelings the first few times you sit. You're going to have to keep working with these core feelings. And the important thing is, once you move into acceptance, that doesn't mean that you start acting out the feelings. You have to restrain yourself from acting out, because the movement is always just more towards experiencing the feeling without being motivated by it. That's where you have to cultivate the skills of being present with your feelings.
Okay,
so then once you're at this point, and the point I was trying to make is that once you can accept all these negative feelings without having unconsciously resisted them, that by itself can be a huge turning point in your self-therapy. And, and I've seen that. Okay, so then once you're at the point of acceptance, then you moved into direct experience, which means finding the feeling in your body and being present with it. Now, all these feelings occur in the body, and that's why we breathe into the body, and we start to emphasize body awareness, body culturing. Just try to find the feeling in the body. Relax into it. Breathe into it. This can be most of the meditative session that you're involved in, whether it's you're doing it on your own or whether you want to work with an emotional clearing counselor, whatever. You're sitting in the moment and just being present with these experiences in the body, feeling them and letting the feeling unwind as you experience it. And it goes through all different levels of body awareness. It might be just a psychological feeling at first, and then that transitions into a kind of a energetic experience. You're finding the energy in your body, and then you might visualize a kind of, I have this block around my heart. It's just like this black blob around my heart that I can now see and visualize. What do I do with that? Well, it's always just be present with it. Bring consciousness to it. Relax into it and drop the resistance. And it's just the bringing of passive consciousness to whatever negative state you find in the body. That's what allows it to unwind and release. But it doesn't happen, you know, instantaneously. It's going to take a while, many sessions. I don't want to say how much or how long, but, you know, therapy doesn't happen overnight. You have to realize you're dealing with huge reservoirs of negativity, which can tie into past lives, and those will become appropriate if it needs to, or childhood trauma, if it needs to, doesn't always need to.
Okay.
And then the final step is witnessing, which means that as you're experiencing in the body, at whatever stage the energetic syndrome has reached, you move to the place of witnessing. Witnessing means you step back and detach, and you shift consciously to what we could call higher self, third eye awareness, breaking the identification with the lower self.
Great.
And we have a number of techniques to implement that, but the strongest might be the third eye technique. So we focus on the third eye.
Yeah.
And that brings about a shift in consciousness, lifting the awareness into a detached, higher self place.
Great.
So the point of all this is that whatever comes up in the lower body, and, you know, and these feelings are, they can be heavy duty. They can be intense feelings of abandonment or fear or turmoil. But when you're witnessing them from the higher self, it's a kind of a glorious experience, because you're no longer experiencing the pain so much, even though the pain is there. You're in this higher self place. You're detached. You've transcended the pain, and that transcendence is part of the integration experience.
I love it, so, man.
Yeah, so it really works. It's been the approach that I've used in over 20 years of working with clients. And now I'm teaching other therapists, or I've always been teaching other therapists how to do it. But I can't recommend it enough.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, this was amazing. We are already out of time. Thank you so much, John. Can they tell everybody where they can find you so we can direct all the listeners?
Well, I've got the website, mclear.com. It's mclear.com. And the Deep Clearing book is up on Amazon, so I would have to recommend that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think everyone we could direct them there. This has been so helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, I enjoy the opportunity to share everything that I hold near and dear to me, too. So thanks a lot, Brendan.
Thank you.